I'm drawn to books that, first of all, have strong characters struggling with conflicts, complex characters, but also books that are about something important. Not to denigrate formula fiction, you know, detective stories, crime stories, mysteries, romances. There are some good ones, but I don't find sort of the repetition of a theme or a place with, you know, little changes in character. And so I'm not drawn at all to that. I want to find a book that is genuine, original, immediately out of the experience of the writer or the observation. The book that probably first really turned me on to what I do was The Grapes of Wrath. I read it when I was in basic training during the Vietnam War, and it was powerfully influential to me. And I saw right there that you could take ordinary people in a struggling situation and create a great story about something important. And so that remains one of my favorite books. One of the most recent novels I read was Robert Butler's Perfume River, set during the Vietnam War. It's a great book for the same reasons. You know, it's a powerful book about characters struggling with internal conflict, trying to resolve issues, come to terms with themselves, and so on.
Where do you get recommendations? How do you find the next book to read?
I'm in a book club now. And so, and I never joined a book club until I retired from my job at USD, but because I always had so many books to read for my classes and thinking about my classes. But I joined a book club, and so now I'm reading a lot more widely. And so I read Americana recently by Chimamanda Adichie, a Nigerian author. And it's an amazing book. It traces the experiences of a Nigerian woman, a young woman who comes to be educated in the U.S., and she it shows the struggle she must go through because she doesn't have enough money. She has a little scholarship, but it won't pay for everything she needs. So she goes through some very traumatic experiences, and in fact, one of them is sexual abuse, which puts her into a terrible depression. And she spends 13 years in the United States as an undergraduate and a graduate student, and goes through a number of relationships before she reconnects with the love of her life, a Nigerian man, Obinze. Ife Mula is the name of the woman who's the central character in the novel. And, you know, eventually she goes back to Nigeria. Obinze has meanwhile encountered a number of terrible difficulties as an immigrant to England. Both of them love to read. Both of them were educated well in Nigeria before they left, but once they went to this other country, you know, they could not find any job other than the most, you know, well, he was cleaning toilets in England. So then he goes through the difficulty of how do you become able to get a green card there? Well, you have to marry someone. So he goes through this trying to get married. Well, he gets caught when he's trying to marry this woman and taken back. And so he has to be in jail for a while. And so he goes through a lot of trials too. Finally, he gets back to Nigeria, and after a number of years, they get together, but, you know, it's a very, the two of them. So it's a love story. And it's, I think it's about, you know, it's a lot about the racism in both United States and England and what these people of color encounter there. In fact, the young woman writes a blog about race. And that's interesting because you have the blog embedded in the narrative in different places. And so it's a very complex novel, a difficult novel that she read. And there's also the braiding of hair. I mean, the hair becomes a symbol in the novel, the difficulty of how to adjust to a society in which you can't get your hair done. If you're a black woman, it's very difficult, and you have to go through all this. I never knew what black women had to go through to relax their hair. It's horrible, you know, and I found out in that novel, you know, that it's painful and it's awful to try to totally transform yourself. This woman goes back to being who she is in her home country. It's not perfect. She's been influenced by America, by the freedom in the United States, which women obviously don't have in Nigeria. And that's interesting, too. It shows the difficult situations that a lot of people find themselves in the modern world that we live in, and how they negotiate that. And I'm interested in it particularly because I have a very good friend who was who has lived in this country for many years. She came to Vermilion from Africa, and we became friends. And actually, you know, she now still has a home in the United States, and she's has a professional career, but she recently went back to her home country for the first time. And I'm wondering, you know, whether she's going to stay there and whether she's going to come back.
Jerry, where do you get your recommendations? There's only a limited amount of time to read. How do you choose what you're going to read next?
I don't read nearly as much as Norma does. I'm a kind of a slow reader. I often come home from the annual Satkara Festival of Books with some new books. So that's probably my number one source, and it's not just South Dakota books. I mentioned Perfume River. They're always national and sometimes international figures there. So, you know, I attend a lot of sessions, and if I hear a talk or a reading that intrigues me, I'll go buy that book. I guess I also sometimes read book reviews and read books based on that, but I'm not nearly as systematic. I'm pretty sporadic about what I read and how much I read. I probably end up reading more nonfiction actually than fiction.
Are there characters from a fiction perspective or in nonfiction, the people that you're reading about, whether it's a biography or in some other way, that you're particularly drawn to? What makes a character that you, or have there been characters who have really influenced you at a particular time in your life?
Well, Norma mentioned dynamic characters, characters that change. Practically every good novel has one or more central figures who could be described as a dynamic figure. You know, who wants to read about somebody who just stays the same for 300 pages? You know, it just, that kind of book doesn't interest many people. But usually there's a moral conflict to be addressed. And sometimes it is a conflict between what the inner self is learning and what society or laws are teaching. And I think that's often the case. You know, The Grapes of Wrath, again, you know, the Tom Joad, the central character, goes through a great education in the fields of California, watching people struggle just to eat. And that sort of thing is really important to me. In my new novel, I have two characters who both immigrate, one from Mexico to the United States. He's an illegal immigrant who's busted and put in jail. The other is an American who goes to Mexico. They're both trying to find something beyond themselves, the Mexican to feed his family, the American basically to survive his personal conflicts. And eventually they come together. But it's I guess, in the bottom line is it's facing great conflict and moral dilemmas, and finding personal resolution is what I think makes a good character.
Norma, are there books that you read as a young person that changed the course of how you saw yourself or changed a course of your life and a decision that you made? And something that, go back a few years, what are some of the books that influenced you when you were younger?
I always read, and you know, my parents read to me. My father read poetry to me. Now, it was Longfellow. He read Hiawatha and Evangeline to me. And my mother read nursery rhymes. And then, you know, in school, I just loved reading. And we had some books at home. We had this great books collection. And I read Dickens. I read everything. I mean, I read Dickens, I read Poe, I read everything I could get my hands on, and read a lot of biographies. I think probably certainly The Scarlet Letter, which I read in high school, Nathaniel Hawthorne, but also, you know, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Mm-hmm. I think it's a wonderful novel, and it's particularly important in terms of the Southern consciousness, to read that. And it's been criticized in recent years because of the way that Jim is treated in the novel. Twain probably made a mistake to have him miss the going north and escaping slavery. I think he did in a way, and it took him down to back to the plantation, and then there's this silly part of the book. Because Twain seemed to be, you know, it was irresistible because he liked humor. I mean, he liked humor. So, I love the book, and I know that other people have said, I'm not the only one who thinks that it teaches empathy, because Huck becomes Jim's friend, and, you know, as far as the moral dilemma, it doesn't matter to him that the rest of society thinks he shouldn't be hiding this man who's trying to escape, so he and who wants to be with his family, who wants to find his family. He knows that this is right in his heart, in his conscience. He knows that this is right for him to befriend Jim. And so I remember reading this book with my son. He would read a chapter, and I would read a chapter of Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. And I think it's a wonderful novel. It's one I read earlier in life, and it's very important work of American literature. In fact, Hemingway even said that all of American literature comes from Huckleberry Finn. That's. Yeah. And it was first person. He told his own story. He's so winning. You know, it hadn't been done really well. Melville did it. But before that, third person omniscience. But then the character gets to tell you what he's been through. So.